welcome to this podcast. It's me, Carolyn Corn, the president, and we have also...
Michelle, hello, how are we?
And Jeanette.
News, Aeroplanes, chapter and verse news. Tell me again, remind me,
the Jeanette. Civic Centre opening.
The Civic Centre opening.
We are going
opening.
To be there.
We're going to be at the Civic Centre between 2 and 2.45. Members of Adelaide Plains Poets will be there.
The Ninamani Cafe, yes. Go along there for fabulous coffee.
And we're going to be reading parts of our work. And I am going to be really, really super brave, and I'm going to give my stand-up comic bit a bit of a workout. And I haven't actually told anybody here. She's laughing already. I haven't even started yet, darling.
Supportive laughing, not laughing at you.
You've been laughing with me. I can feel that. We'll see. But anyway, I've got this piece written, and I'll give it a go.
And that's the 7th of April, isn't it?
Yes.
So that should be a fun day.
Okay, and moving on to literary news, we have got Michelle. What is Adelaide famous for? Writers Week.
Writers
and where's
Week.
Michelle been? She's been there. She's a good girl, because nobody else from our group that I know of did.
So I went Monday night after work, and I was lucky enough to hear Martin Zusak. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
Zusak, yes.
I unfortunately just missed Ben Quilty. My mum and my auntie and uncle heard him and said it was one of the most magnificent interviews they'd ever heard. And then I listened to Marcus Zusak, and he was utterly entertaining, really interesting, talking about the processes of his writing, how the latest book came about, The Bridge, I think it is. I have to get around to reading that. He talked a little bit about reviewers, which I thought was really interesting, because I'm currently doing my master's in creative writing, and then one of the topic we're doing at the moment is critical reflection and reviewing.
Okay.
So that was actually very interesting. Then I went Wednesday and Thursday and got to hear Nelson Mandela's grandson speak.
Oh, awesome.
In the presence of greatness. Honestly, so earthy. It was a wonderful talk about where they feel South Africa has gone since apartheid, and he was with a woman called Siskwane, who I actually ended up buying her autobiography. She was just, interestingly, I'm not hugely into biographies or autobiographies.
Okay.
She was so articulate, where you're just listening to it. And that's what's the beauty of Writers Week, actually, because often they are really very, very good at talking about their work. I also listened to a group of women about the third wave feminism.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. Bought that book, Rage. Look out, everybody. Rage, Why Women Are Angry and Why They Should Be. So that was interesting. Very interesting, because it's a older, it tends to be a bit of an older audience. And listened to a woman, the woman who wrote The Dry, Jane Harper. Have you heard of
her?
No,
I don't know that.
What an utterly delightful woman. Just really delightful, highly personable. She's written 3 books, is working on her 4th. She's written 3 books in 5 years. She's sort of a little bit of, you know, all of our fantasy writing dreams come true, where she wrote The Dry and it was just really successful. And she's been able to give up her journalism job and write full time, which is what we'd all love to be able to do, make money from
it. Well, hey, I could do that.
And make money.
Yeah.
So it's really, honestly, it's worth, even if you can just go down for a day, even if you say to yourself, I'm not sure, I haven't heard of that writer, I don't know what that's about. It's actually just
really... They get
really
great people, because Adelaide Writers Week has got a huge reputation around
the
world.
Absolutely. Very, very popular. Yeah, and it's really worth just going to listen.
And it's free, and it's gorgeous there.
And to be in that sort of environment where people are just so passionate about literature is utterly gorgeous. People are hilarious. That you know, some people are serious, but it was, I love it. So honestly, go along, very inspiring, very uplifting. You just go along and just sit and listen, and you know, they're not talking about, oh, you need to write a novel in this way. They're just talking about what their love is, which is what our love is, which is writing.
Indeed.
Which is great. So sorry, I've got very excited talking about that,
okay.
But I think it's absolutely worth toddling along to. And my favourite, most hilarious part, I must add this, is question and answer time at the end. My only criticism of Writers Week is that they should ban question and answer time.
Okay.
Because in the true form of a lot of people, they consider it, I'd like to get up and talk about myself time.
Mm-hmm.
So there did end up being a little bit of a giggle, as these, unfortunately, you could see these people who have been fortunate enough to grow up and possibly be probably at the more upper end of wealth in Adelaide, ask Nelson Mandela's grandson about apartheid, or speak to him about it in a way like they truly deeply get where he's coming from. It's cringeworthy. People.
So they don't deeply get it because they don't have any understanding. And hey, go out to, I don't know, Northern Territory and have a look at how people live in there.
But you know, that happens every question and answer time, there's always somebody who has to let the writer know that they too are a fabulous writer and they too have got some fabulous ideas. But that's my little bit of a thing. You can acknowledge somebody without feeling like you need to put your own stuff forward. And I think that sometimes in those sort of question and answer times, instead of stopping and actually asking a question, I mean, one person asked one of the writers a magnificent question. She wrote about the Victorian bushfires and she actually analysed a lot of data. And somebody got up and said, how do you keep yourself emotionally safe when you're working through all those stories? The writer actually said, that's a fabulous question.
It is a fact. Yes, it is.
You know, and that's the sort of thing you'd be thinking, what a great question. So no, it was wonderful, fabulous, lovely atmosphere. Weather was gorgeous. Go along. Even if you just go for one or two sessions in the morning and that's it. It's just worth it.
I kind of thought that it would have been really good if I'd been there for the Sean Williams one because, like, he's going to be at our festival, but I didn't.
Okay, time to move on. And poet and writer discussion. And this month, because to honour the opening of the Civic Centre on the 7th of April, I thought we'd talk about writing and Gawler.
Fabulous.
Some of Gawler's known writers.
Yep, there's been lots and lots of people, writers and speakers and writers since the beginning of Gawler.
Yes.
And
yes.
Probably before, there were people talking
telling stories.
Well,
this was a
for sure,
place
yarnings,
where
stories
were told. Down by the River Junction.
Where the rivers met.
They would sit
and
tell stories. So this has always been a town, storytelling town.
That's a really lovely idea to get in your head, actually, isn't it? That this is like really...
Yes.
Yeah, that gene memory, which I think is really lovely. That's fabulous.
It's a town that loans itself to stories because it's got character and history and
it's
got beautiful natural environment.
Oh, the nature and those gorgeous fig trees.
Aren't they beautiful?
And the river.
Oh, right about that. Yes. Well, I recently read a book by Kim Locke. She's a Barossa writer and it was called The Three of Us and that was set in Gawler. Mm. And I actually specifically got it because it was set in Gawler and I was really drawn to the idea of, oh, I wonder how many places I'll recognise. It was set in the 60s. A really interesting story. Mm. Very interesting. Very, very well written. Very readable. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, it was lovely that it was set somewhere that you recognise and know. I think that's always nice, isn't it?
I actually prefer reading books that are set about places I don't know.
So
I like to travel. That's how I travel through books. So I'm not interested in, actually, I'll write about Gawler, but not Gawler now. Gawler 100 years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
As a different place. I don't want to read books about the places I know. I want to read books about... So that's why I love African literature and Indian literature. Reading books from other cultures, because that's my way of travel.
So what books about Gawler do we actually have?
Well, I don't actually know of any.
Poets and writers from Gawler.
Yes, Max Faction, of course.
He was a tiny bit out of Gawler.
Yeah.
But like...
We'll claim him as our own.
Yes. Gawler does.
5 minutes walking.
Some of Australia was... I don't think it was written by a Gawler woman, but it was a competition run by the Gawler Institute.
And should be our national anthem.
The guy that composed the music, he was one of the German 48ers that came over after the 1848 revolution in Germany. And he temporarily lived in Gawler, tried to grow potatoes, failed, and then moved to Adelaide. So he had a link to Gawler.
Potatoes
in Gawler. No, I don't think potatoes grow. Oh, I don't know. Michelle might know otherwise.
Well, they do, but I imagine en masse it would be rather difficult. Yeah.
So who else have we got?
Oh, I just listed Martin Christmas.
Yeah, Martin Christmas.
Obviously.
Absolutely awesome man. He and his partner, Kathy Young, did awesome things with poetry.
Yes.
Gawler Poets at the Pub, which is still going.
Absolutely.
He's been going for 23 years now.
Oh, wow.
When Martin left, three women had to step in and take it over. And they left and left me there. And then, fortunately, one of the members of our group, Alex, came along and it's still going. And Gawler Poets at the Pub is quite a well-known poetry event.
It's very much a part of Gawler's culture too.
Absolutely,
The last Sunday every month we're there at the PA Hotel at the moment. We've travelled hotels from time to time.
And poetry has been written in Gawler for a very long time.
Oh yeah, that looks like poetry to me.
Copy of the Bunyip. This is a facsimile from the earliest copies when it was put out by the Gawler Humbug Society. It was the Chronicle of the Gawler Humbug Society. It was set up to be a satirical paper. The Bunyip has always been a remarkable paper. In my research reading Bunyips in 1912, predicted World War I, exactly exactly what would happen in 1912. And then in 19, they were appealing to people to be nice, to be rational, not to blame the German people.
It was very radical.
It was actually a very radical paper.
From Barossa
were German. The Bunyip was always a radical paper. It was known for that. It took a tolerant, radical stance. So, yes, I was going to read something, but I very randomly just picked out this. A paragraph appeared in the Register about a fortnight ago to the effect that some of the present members for Barossa are about to retire from the representation of the district in consequence of ill health. We regret extremely the cause which induces him to take this step, probably throughout the whole district. No settler could be found who is more universally respected or who has made so few enemies or opponents. This was so manifest that even when he presented himself as the third candidate for the representation of the district at the last election, it was remarkable that he received the cordial support of electors who were canvassing for both the others, and he went into Parliament with the hearty good wishes of all sections of the community. I love the way they wrote. So that's just the first line from the march, and I picked out this march because it's March.
Indeed, why not? Yes.
Humbug Society Proceedings. It's amazingly written. It's very florid in style, very Victorian, but very, very beautifully written. And it is written to be read aloud. That's why they wrote in their style they did. It's because newspapers were read aloud, books were read aloud. That's what they did of an evening. People would sit around and read books.
Because you didn't have TV telling us rubbish stuff that we don't need to hear.
It's written in a style that suits being read aloud, whereas today's writing suits private reading.
But reading only became a private thing
in the 20th century.
At the moment, reading poetry has taken the back step to performance poetry.
Yes.
Performance poetry in South Australia and beyond is really taking off.
Oh, absolutely. It's getting a real following.
And some of these people, the young people and older, are doing it. It's just amazing.
That poetry, you know, how wonderful it is performed because it's written, again, to be spoken.
Yeah.
Poetry has that rhyme, that rhythm.
When I read my own poetry, I make it sound even more interesting than, I don't know.
Well, one of the reasons things were originally written in verse was so they could be memorised.
Yes.
So it goes back to
rhyming, writing
down, but rhyme makes things easy to remember.
Yep.
So the laws of Iceland were memorized from the year 1000 before they actually started writing, and they were handed down, and someone had to recite the entire legal code of Iceland. It was all in rhyme. And it had to be in rhyme to be able to be remembered. And that's how they remembered their laws.
Okay, we'll move on to the writer's tip. Now, Carolyn had an excellent.
The writer's tip of the day I came up with under pressure was, I can't remember what it was, something about never throws your writing away.
Yes, I like it.
Because you never know when it might be useful. You might have written a novel and you go, oh no, that just doesn't fit. So take it out and make it into a short story. Beautiful, done, easy.
Yes,
there's passages in it that you can use in something else.
Make it into a poem.
Yes, or just in another novel that might, oh actually I remember describing this landscape or this scene. You never know.
And I've used the same town, whatever, and I make, yeah, why not?
But also it's just good to keep your writing, look back on it, see
how you've evolved. Or
you think, what on earth was I drinking that night?
Oh, I read my teenage diaries. Cringe-worthy.
But it would be so worthy when you're writing young adults fiction.
That's
beautiful.
True.
I did actually use diary entry when I was writing London Calling. I went back to my diaries and I used some diary entries. And one I used was when we had our baggage stolen because I was describing the police station that we were waiting in to make the police report. And I really wanted that description. So, you know, I have mined my diaries from time to time.
Okay. Word of the day. What's the word of the day?
Gainstrive.
What on earth does that mean?
To resist or to oppose. And apparently there's actually a band called Gainstrive, I just found out. I don't know where they are.
I'm going to say that to my class.
Is that what the kids are going to be doing tomorrow when they don't go to school?
Stop Gainstriving.
They're all going to Gainstrive tomorrow.
Are they?
I don't know. That's what the big day is. So kids not going to school, that's tomorrow. Okie dokie. Yeah. So that's that one. Yeah. And I'll start off the readings of our own work. I have a poem and it's called The Leaf. What is this? Is it lunch? Hold it tight and hear it crunch. Throw it away, watch it float on the water like a boat. It's a leaf, brown and dry. It fell from a tree way up high. The leaf is old, not young and green. It's dirty too, not fresh and clean. I've written that for the children's poetry market.
Oh, lovely.
Which is a fine market. And I've actually sent it somewhere. I did, really, yes. Way up, Carolyn. Anyway, that's my poem. Somebody else read something of their own work.
No, I
can't do that.
I should, because I've got so much written about Gawler, but it's none of it. Right, so.
Okie dokie. Okay, listener's challenge.
Listener's challenge is the Civic Centre.
Write about the Civic Centre.
The opening of the Civic Centre, the history of the Civic Centre.
Your memories of the library as it was. Anything, write about the Civic Centre.
I like that it doesn't creak anymore. I would not like that, but actually it's quite nice not having that creaking. And although I understand the librarians, you would know which section people were in depending on the creaks.
Yes,
makes sense.
Well, now they can see their heads over the shelves, so
that's true. It's lovely, it's nice and airy, and the whole Civic Centre. We did a book club in one of the rooms, the little conference rooms. It was utterly delightful, a window overlooking all of Murray Street. Lovely. So if you've got a conference or a meeting room you're looking for,
is that the
book
library?
It's in the Civic Centre. They're just beautiful rooms.
Anyway, we'll wrap it up, I think.
Thank
and
you.
Get down to the cool.
Yes. Thank you, girls.
Okay. Good to be here. Thank you.